Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my dear friends in Christ. When you reach that point of the story, whether you're reading a book, watching a movie, a TV show, it's that moment that comes when more than anything in all the world, you just want someone to appear. Someone who can help. Someone who can fix it. It's the moment when you know or when you expect the hero to arrive. And not just to arrive, but to arrive just in the nick of time. To sweep the bad guys away, to save the day with a flourish and with some style. And to finally set up that happy ending that you've been waiting for. Because after all, at this late point in the story, so much has happened. So much suffering and struggle from the characters you know and love. So much evil has happened, perhaps, in their world or in their lives. Many people have been hurt, have been struggling. And now, though, after it all, it's time for things to be set right. It's what you expect. It's the moment that ends up defining the story. When the hero arrives just in time. But what if he never comes? What I mean is, what if that moment arrives and nobody shows up to help? And the bad guys win. And evil just goes right on doing what it had always been doing, unchecked. Now you got a different story, don't you? It could have been a heroic tale. It could have been some fairy tale ending. And now instead you've got a horror story, right? Because that's the pathway to absolute despair. Having hope that someone's coming, someone's going to fix the problem, someone's going to defeat evil, dangled right in front of your eyes, only to have it snatched away at the last moment. Just to have the floor fall out from underneath your feet when it finally sinks in that no one's coming. It's a bitter taste it leaves in your mouth, right? To have your hopes dashed, to have all your dreams crumble right there in your hands, at your feet. It's a sensation that God's people of Israel were intimately familiar with. That bitter taste of dashed hopes was a taste that they knew all too well. Because just look at their history. Look at everything God's people had been through. And isn't it true when you look at everything that happened to them, isn't it true that generations of them were born waiting and lived their entire lives waiting and died waiting? Whether it was those early generations who were waiting to see the promised land but never did, whether because they died still enslaved in Egypt or wandering the wilderness. Or maybe it was the ones who were waiting for peace to finally arrive. They were finally living in the promised land, but war after war after war kept rising and falling. And God's enemies surrounded them on every side, never leaving them peace. Or maybe even when those enemies were finally defeated, they still found themselves waiting for that promised Messiah to just finally arrive. All those generations waiting, hoping, and at the end of it all, still being disappointed. Going down to the grave with the bitter taste of disappointment on their lips. And I imagine, friends, as we start talking about disappointment, I'd imagine you're pretty intimately familiar with that yourselves. I don't have to sit down and interview every last one of you to know a few things about you. We've all got dreams, haven't we? Big dreams, plans, expectations even about the future. And I'll hazard a guess that maybe you're not sure about all the details, but even so, you got some confidence. Confidence that the future is going to bring comfort, safety, prosperity for you and for your loved ones, whomever they may be. But I bet because you have those dreams and aspirations and plans, you're also familiar with the bitter drink of the world that keeps coming back, and it seems to be again and again flooding our sweet ambitions and turning them into something sour. Because every time it happens, every time you reach one of those moments where the floor falls out from underneath your feet and you realize nobody's coming, it drives you just a little bit closer to the edge. And it keeps happening all these different times and in all these different ways. Maybe it's when you finally feel that gut-wrenching sense of dread that settles in when you see a new low of human depravity and cruelty coming across your screen on the evening news. And it finally sinks in just how awful people can really be. And it's not going to change. Or maybe it's that numb horror that washes over you when you open that envelope and you see just how vast and unpayable that bill is really going to be. Or the doctor walks in the room and you can see it on his face already before he says a word, and you know the news isn't going to be good. And you realize just how quickly things can turn on their head. Maybe it's those times when you feel that burning anger deep in the pit of your stomach, when you've been made a fool of yet again for your politics, for your beliefs, or for putting trust in someone that showed themselves unworthy of that trust, and you realize people just don't change. It's exhausting, right? How many times can a person's hopes, dreams, aspirations, how many times can those things be dashed to pieces before a person just stops trying, right? And friends, if you've ever been that far down the end of your rope, that's where God's people were when his prophet Isaiah finds them in our text for this morning. They're broken. They're defeated. They've been taken captive and carried far away to foreign lands. And they're tired. Tired of waiting for help that never came. Tired of fighting wars and battles against enemies that just overwhelmed them anyway. Just worn down by it all. How do you bring a person back from a place like that? How do you pull a person back who's teetering on the edge of despair? God simply says to his people, two words: wake up. And that doesn't sound all that comforting, does it? That sounds like a tone-deaf response to someone's suffering, doesn't it? Tell the drowning man to just catch a quick breath of air. Tell the person being crushed by poverty to just scrape together what you have. It'll work itself out, right? Wake up. Yes, terrible things have happened. God's people, Israel, they've seen it all. They've seen disappointment. They've seen despair. They've seen death. And maybe, dear friends, you've seen exactly the same thing. But the point stands. Your God knows. He knows about every last moment of despair and suffering. He sees every encounter with death. He knows about all these things, and yes, he is doing something about it. And he wants us to be ready. He wants you to be fully prepared for that glorious moment that is coming when everything is set right. And he calls to his people through his prophet this morning to be prepared. Just listen to his call from our reading this morning as he says these words to his people. You were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. And friends, I ask you, how can we read words like that and not immediately think about the promises that God was preparing to keep? Because even though it's true that many more generations after Isaiah's day were going to be born and live and die before this promise was fulfilled, that doesn't change the fact that when the time had fully come, God kept this promise. We're thinking of the Savior. We're thinking of that promise of the Messiah who was going to arrive, be born to this promised nation of Israel at exactly the moment God knew he would be needed most. And you and I, friends, have the advantage of knowing that that Savior has already come. He came. He paid the price for sinners everywhere, and he didn't do it with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood. And that's only the beginning. Not only does Jesus keep God's promise to save the world from its enemies of sin, death, and the devil, but he makes a new one before he ascends to his heavenly throne. He says, "I am coming soon." And so too, when through Isaiah, God says to his people, therefore, my people will know my name. So on that day, they will know I am the one who is saying, here I am. God's looking even further ahead to the day when the victorious Jesus returns in glory to save the day. It's going to be a joyful day of salvation for everyone who believes. That beautiful cathartic moment when the hero returns, sets all things right, defeats all of their enemies for all time, and takes them to a peaceful eternal future. And at the same time, it's a terrifying day. A day of absolute, utter defeat for all of God's enemies, for every enemy that ever plagued his people or his church. This is the hero God promises. And the God of promise who keeps his word to his nation of Israel, who promised he would release them from slavery in Egypt and did, who promised he would take them to a new land flowing with milk and honey and did, a God who promised he would send a Savior for the world through their bloodline and did, says that that same Messiah who has ascended into heaven, whom we cannot see with our eyes today, is coming again and soon to win the final victory. And friends, this isn't a fallible hero. This isn't the hero who hears the call of those who needs him and takes the coward's way out. This isn't the hero who knows he has to arrive at just the right time, but shows up just a little bit late. This isn't the hero who arrives to the field of battle mostly prepared, but falls victim to the hand of his enemies. This is the completely reliable hero of the God of promises, who kept all his vows to his chosen people and isn't going to fail his church today. So are you tired of being so tired? Are you exhausted of dealing day in and day out with all these setbacks, all these struggles, all these worries? God says, be encouraged with these words. Relief is on the way, and it won't come too late. Because your glorious King Jesus is coming again and soon to rescue his people, to rescue you, his people, from all their suffering, and to take you to a new land, an eternal place where there will be no suffering, no tears, no crying, no pain, where you can spend an eternity at your hero's side, knowing that he has done it all for you. There is nothing left for you to do but simply to wait, to stay awake, and to wait in patient hope for that day that is coming soon when he will set all things right, make all things new, and take you to your heavenly home. Until that day, amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in our risen Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Would you please stand as we confess the faith with Christians everywhere using the words of the Nicene Creed? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again.